Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the weekly Thursday morning edition of the Household Express, a program dedicated to all your homemaking needs. I'm Sister Amara, joined by my two lovely co-hosts, Aunty Kareja Ibrahim and Aunty Hawa Surti, and we're delighted to be in your company up to 11 a.m. this morning. Assalamu alaikum, Aunty Hawa, how are you keeping?
Walaikum salam, alhamdulillah. And I hope, inshallah, all our guests are just as well, and very busy at the moment, I now think, getting ready for
Ramadan. Yes, yeah. Indeed, yes. Assalamu alaikum, Aunty Kareja, how are you keeping?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I am well, and I hope all the listeners are also well.
Yes, alhamdulillah, good to be back in the studio behind the microwave, and again, good to be once again joined by my two lovely girls. Yes, alhamdulillah, I'm recovered from COVID, and yes, I had COVID. So, you know, Allah Ta'ala gives those who He wants to give. He takes who He wants to take and give shifa to all those.
Ameen.
Yes.
Ameen.
So it was a bit of a challenging 2 weeks, but alhamdulillah, I'm well recovered now. You just get those episodes of tiredness and that. And my advice to you is that make sure you take all your vitamins on time, and also rest if you have the COVID. Rest as much as possible. And also, very importantly, make dua for everybody. As they say, sick people's dua get accepted. And also, being of the COVID as well, the home remedies really, really help a lot. The honey, the cinnamon, the cloves, the steaming and rest. And, you know, just take one day at a time, you know. And also, like I said, rest as much as possible. And you don't recover fully. It takes you a while. You do get those episodes of tiredness as well. And it's very important you have to listen to your body. You know, don't just go out there like, oh, I've got a strength now, let me do this, let me do that, you know.
No.
We all take our necessary precautions, thereafter we leave it in the hands of Allah. So shukran alhamdulillah. Well, today our topic is keeping your home tidy. We all want that perfect looking homes. Many of us don't know where to start, as things may look out of place. Now today we chat to Sister Fazana Khan Saluji, and she's on the Instagram page at Tidy Up By Faith, and she is also a professional organizer. Her photos and tips online prove that we all need her help in our lives. Once we've spoken to Sister Fazana, we're going to be taking you through the correct method and some tips and tricks on how to praise your samosa mints the correct way as well. And we welcome all your cooking and baking and savory making questions or concerns on the WhatsApp number 072-786-1548. And okay, let's welcome Sister Fazana on the airways of Radio Islam. Assalamu alaikum, Fazana, how are you?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I am well, alhamdulillah, and how are you?
Alhamdulillah, Fazana, much better. Yes, you were supposed to be having the interview to last week, but I was still not well, and jazakallah for, you know, giving us your time once again today.
Alhamdulillah.
Now, Fazana, let's start off by asking, what is a professional organizer?
Okay, so a professional organizer like myself, we help you to transform your spaces. So we take your spaces generally from clutter and chaotic, and we help you to get it organized by implementing the correct storage systems. And this is to help you gain maximum efficiency in your daily tasks. So the bonus that comes with it is the aesthetic appeal.
Now, for some of you, all would like the tidy dream home. Some days just evade us. Many websites suggest that homes start by decluttering the home. Many of us hoard items, you know, thinking we will use this one day. In your opinion, do we need to declutter? And what tips and tricks can you give us on this?
So if your home is feeling overwhelmed because you have too many things, and if it's things that you are not using, then yes, you have to ask yourself, why do I have this item? Mm. Is it making me feel good? Is it serving its purpose? If it's not, and it's just making you feel anxious and overwhelmed, then it's a good time to declutter and give it away to a home or to somebody who will make use of it.
Mm-hmm.
And in that way, you are freeing up the space that you actually need to enjoy your home.
Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes you want to keep lots of sentimental things, mm-hmm. like, you know, from our mothers or grandmothers. We don't want to get rid of it, you know. So it's good to keep that, you know, of sentimental value as well. But you find that, you know, things are really keeping up space now. It's like old-fashioned now. You want to make way for new things. Then, you know, it's a good suggestion to give it to somebody who is in need of it as well.
Yes. So what I normally suggest is make a space, a box or two boxes, and keep your sentimental items in there, because sometimes you do want to go back and look at it, and looking at it brings back memories of happier times.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are going to take that initiative to go and look at your sentimental items and bring back happy memories, then by all means, keep it. But I like to suggest keep it in a box so it doesn't become overfilled. And once it is reaching its capacity, then maybe go through the things and see which is more sentimental than others.
Mm-hmm.
And then keep those. And in that way, you are constantly freeing up more space.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm sure many mothers will agree with this one. Yeah. Many of us have teens, and with teens come messy cupboards. Actually, that chair in the corner has become our teen's new cupboard. Now, what tips can you give us in organizing a teen's cupboard?
So, teenager's cupboard, you should treat it like any other closet. We create zones and implement storage products in it. So, even if they need to dump their clothing, as long as it cuts out some of the visual clutter by having containers. And you also, I always suggest adding labels. So this way your teenagers are kept accountable for where their items are going.
Mm.
So they're not going to mix it up and say, Mommy, I can't find this and I can't find that. If you tell them this is a box and this is for T-shirts, or this drawer is only for T-shirts,
mm-hmm.
you're going to place it in there. And then implement easy folding methods. So for teenagers, they like to dump. Instead, ask them maybe fold your T-shirt and roll it up.
Okay, yeah.
So rolling gains you more space, and, you know, you can easily grab, go, roll, put back.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And you know, sometimes what teens have the problem with is like they're looking for a certain color of a T-shirt or a skipper that they take out from the bottom. And then they wear it, they feel it's not right, and they put it back in the wash. I know my girls, Auntie Kaija Java, is finally laughing. And I'm sure most of the mothers will agree with me, you know. So, like, you know, do you need, like, a big drawers, spacey drawers?
Yeah, and then maybe another idea is also to give them some baskets in their room. So, like you're saying, they pull out an item and they decide, oh, I'm not wearing this today. And then they don't have time to put it back in.
Mm-hmm.
So just keep a little basket for clean clothes that need to go back in, and then keep another basket for, like, dirty clothes that they, you know, did eventually decide to wear and then came home with. So then that way they know, this is the clean clothes that I didn't actually wear out. It doesn't need to go in the laundry and give mom extra work.
Mm-hmm.
Rather, this is my pack-away basket.
Absolutely, yes. Let's now move into the kitchen. Our spice cupboard and pantries are some days a sight for sore eyes. And how can we pack our kitchens to look like stores? Also, what do you store your spices in?
So when you go to a store, you will see that each aisle is categorized. That's where you know exactly where to find items that you're looking for. So it's the same method that you need to implement in your kitchens and in your pantries. I always suggest grouping your items together, so all your sauces, your canned goods, your snacks, your pastas, etc., whatever other zones you have, you categorize them and you place them together. So even if you don't have storage items as such, and maybe you just have an open shelf, you group these items and you place it together and you evenly spread it out so that they don't overlap into one another.
Okay.
And then I always suggest adding labels so then you know. Even if someone else comes to your pantry and they open it and they want to know where is a sauce, a tomato sauce, then they'll know. Look under the sauces. And other options I also suggest is adding storage containers. My favorite is clear containers, because that way you can see what's in there.
Mm-hmm.
Plus the addition of labels keeps the items categorized, and it's easier for people to see where everything is.
Okay. Your spices, Fazana, what type of bottles do you store your spices in? Is it plastic or glass bottles?
So for spices, I always prefer glass.
Yes.
But it is personal preference. So when I'm working with clients, I will work through what's your preference. But for myself personally, I prefer glass storage. And I like to go with a cohesive look. So look for a range where you can get bottles in maybe different sizes, but the same color lids. Mm. Because, you know, for us, especially as Indian people, we have a lot of spices.
We have too
and
many.
And for some spices, we buy in bigger quantities.
Yes.
So you would need bigger jars. And for spices that you buy in smaller quantities, you would need smaller jars. But the main aim to achieve that cohesive look is to go for a range with the same aesthetics.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, we all have that one junk drawer that has odds and ends, maybe even some hidden treasures, you know. How do you tackle this messy space?
So in a junk drawer, it's important to get drawer dividers.
Mm.
This way you can create little categories, but you don't have to be too strict on the categories that you create in a junk drawer. So, for example, I would create like an on-the-go. So on-the-go would have like maybe your car keys, your coins, and nowadays your masks in it.
Mm, mm.
And then you can also create like a little drawer divider with some random stationery that we always need, and, you know, to have some sticky notes and a pen. And generally you'll always find like some batteries in there because people are always looking for batteries in the home. And then little gadgets that we just like to keep. So the idea is not to just dump everything in one drawer, but rather to create zones with drawer dividers.
Mm-hmm. What are the must-have tidy items for every home?
So this is always space-dependent, but if I had to choose my most favorite item, it would be a Lazy Susan.
Oh,
and
okay.
Lazy Susan, it can be used in multiple spaces. So I've used it in the kitchen to hold sauces together, in the bathroom to hold cosmetics together, you know, on your dresser to hold perfumes together. And I think it's just a very versatile product, even for those hard-to-reach corners. And it just makes it easy. Turn, look, find what you're looking for, and place that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And finally, when would a person need to call you in, Fazana?
So I'm available at a click of a button. But I always tell people, when you are ready to invest in taking back your space, I'm there for you. I approach your project holistically. And it is an investment of time, and which a lot of people don't have.
Mm.
So I'm here for you.
Invest
in your time and take back your space.
Mm-hmm. Well, for a lovely interview, and please share your Instagram handle address for the listeners. And I'm sure they want to go onto your Instagram page and check out all your lovely organizing pics as well and makeovers as well. So please share that contact details with the listeners. The Instagram page address?
My Instagram handle is at tidyitupbyfaz.
Okay, simple as that. So at tidyitupbyfaz, and you can see how Sister Fazana has organized so much of the homes and kitchens, and really, really lovely pics coming through there on her Instagram page. Sister Fazana, jazakallah khair for joining us, and may Allah grant you lots and lots of barakah and blessings.
Ameen, jazakallah.
Ameen, jazakallah. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Well, that was Sister Fazana, and she is basically a professional organizer, and you can follow her Instagram at Tidy It Up by Fez as well. And well, Auntie Khadija, what recipes can we look forward to later on in the program?
Okay, today our main recipe is how to make samosa mince recipe. And then the second one is a selection of chicken fillings for pies. The first one is a chicken filling for pies, then it's a chicken sausage rolls, and a spinach feta and cheese filling for pies.
Mm, and these recipes really, really look yummy.
Very,
as well.
Very nice.
Okay, let's go for a break. When we come back, Auntie Hawa is going to be telling us just a little about keeping the home tidy. Then we're going to go on to how to praise your samosa mince the correct way. And we also loved your interaction on this topic, 0727861548. You can share your hints and tips and your ideas, or perhaps your cooking questions or concerns. We're here to assist you in the studio with all your Ramadan savouries. We're no experts as well, but we definitely try and assist, and we'd love your interaction as well. So you can WhatsApp us on 072-786-1548. Stay tuned. Assalamu alaikum and welcome back. Well, Auntie Hawa, share with us some tips on keeping your home tidy.
Okay. All right, having a tidy home is not a must, but a daily routine. You must work out a daily routine, a weekly routine, and so on. Because every home needs cleaning every day. Mm-hmm. You cannot put it aside. I think in the lockdown period, we did hide a little. Yes.
We couldn't manage with all the work that we had.
Yes.
Okay. Right, you must
prioritize your work, and you must start with the most difficult room or the most cluttered room. You can do your laundry daily, and that will depend on the size of the family. And you must get your family members involved and tell them, look, this is what I expect of you, and this is how you would help. And you must spend about 15 minutes clean-up time nightly. Don't just leave the kitchen
in a mess.
Try and clean up. Like the old people used to say, make sure your house is clean at night because you never know what can happen.
And also, the old people used to say that, you know, make sure that you can find things even in the dark.
Even in the dark, yeah.
Yes.
You must keep your basic cleaning supplies close to the place where you are doing your work. For example, the bathroom supplies, the kitchen supplies, etc. Keep it close so you don't walk around too much, picking this up from this cupboard or pulling it out from that cupboard. And then have a nice basket and put your cleaning stuff in there so that when you move from room to room, you move with your basket, etc. Right? And to make you must always make your beds up, because once the bed is untidy in the room,
the whole room
looks upside down and untidy. Right? You must also make sure that your belongings have a designated place, especially the most used rooms, like the kitchen, for example. It's the most used room in the house. Then comes the bathrooms, and then comes the bedrooms. Okay? You must have a to-do list. Like now with Ramadan coming on, we are all going to try and do spring cleaning.
Yes.
Right? We're going to start with the curtains, windows, etc. So make a list of each room and what is to be done in that room. And then try and follow the list, because that way you will clean your house within that couple of weeks that you have. Okay? You must have a picture in your mind of how you want your room to look. Because if you don't have, or you can't imagine what the room is going to look like, then you are really wasting your time. Then I think we'll have to call Sister Fazana.
Oh, yes.
Okay. You must have, let's come to the decluttering. Decluttering, why is it necessary? Today, we have so many electrical gadgets, all of them having wires and plugs. And our homes are not built, like our kitchen counters, etc., are not built like the modern home where you can pull out the plug, use it, and push it back in, and then it forms one plain surface, right? So with the electrical equipment, you get gadgets around so that you can tie up the wiring and make it look tidy all the time, so that you can have a nice, tidy place all the time, right? You must start with what you can see, right? Don't just go now and open up a cupboard and say, okay, I'm going to start here. Start the decluttering from outside. And then once you've got the outside all organized, then you go into the cupboard.
Yes.
And then you identify the things that you want to get rid of. Example, are they useful? Are they beautiful? Or do they simply have a nostalgic meaning behind it? So you keep all that in mind, and then you will organize what is left by making three piles or three boxes, as was stated earlier. And you can have one pile for trash, one to give away, and one to keep, right? You can even do that with your clothes.
Yes.
Right? Because if you haven't worn something in 1 or 2 years, then I don't think you will want to wear it. Because unfortunately, some of us do put on a bit of weight and some of us don't, so we can still wear our clothes that's maybe 15 or 20 years old. Other than that, if it doesn't fit you, get rid of it so you got more space in your cupboard, and that you can keep more tidy. You must be happy with what you are cleaning, and you must remember that a messy house can give you anxiety. Yes, so you've got to be careful.
I think we all that. You know, if we see something dirty, we'll stress and stress on it. So I need to have that cupboard that clean. You know, you won't go, you're going to sleep at night, but you're probably going to want to in the morning. And
behind the mind,
I didn't pack that cupboard.
Your
I
mind
need to
is
do
working
that, you know?
All the time.
And you'll find the next time you clean the cupboard, you'll have a good night's sleep. I think I'm just talking from experience. I'm sure most of the listeners would agree with me, We're all that way, you know.
And when you are also cleaning up your things, make sure you have the proper cleaning equipment, right? Because if you're going to stress now and say that this needs cleaning and I don't have this particular cleaning chemical, then you're going to try and use something else. Yeah. You may make the position worse. So try and have... They're not very, very expensive. You can even mix some of them up at home if you got like the use of bicarb, for example.
Bicarb and vinegar.
And vinegar, etc. We have had programs like
that. Yes.
So we can make up our own mixtures and clean up, especially greasy places like in the kitchen, etc. One thing we must remember, which is a golden rule, which we learned a very, very long time ago, you must have a place for everything, and everything must be in its place. Mm. So when you finish with something,
put it back.
Yes.
Yeah. Put it back there. So when you reach out the next time,
you know where it
is. Like our mother said, you must even find the things in the dark. Okay. That's more or less what I have. And also, when it comes to these new gadgets, all right, there's a new air fryer now.
Okay.
Right, with touch dial.
Nice.
Right? So now we just got used to using the old one. There's a new one out. So it's not necessary to get rid of your old one and buy a new one.
If it's served the same purpose, then
it's served the same purpose, yeah. Like the gadgets are not a must-have. You must only buy it if you absolutely need it. And then last night I saw in one of the macro advertisements, they even got an air fryer oven, which is portable.
Sure.
Right. So things are advancing all the time.
Very much
right?
So, yes.
And if now and again we can keep up with these advancements, but it's not necessary to have everything. If you are used to using your old equipment and gadgets, etc., and they are still in good working condition,
why not?
Because it's just added expense.
Yes.
And today... things are a bit on the expensive side.
Times are very difficult. Lockdown has been like last year. So times are very, very,
very
difficult, you know. Yes.
So you've got to prioritize and say, what do you need more? Do you need to buy your groceries or do you need to buy a new gadget? So you have to prioritize.
Yes.
There's lots of thinking and explaining and disciplining yourself when it comes to gadgets, etc., in your home.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right. Those are some of the things I've done up. And then I can also say, happy spring cleaning.
Oh, yes. The weather's been nice.
The weather's been very nice.
It's nice for carpets and curtains and that.
Mm.
You know, one side you're praising your mints, one side you can spring clean. You can, you know, multitask and that. Yes. So I've been talking about praising mints. And maybe you can come in here, you know. What would you like, if you're going to be praising your samosa mints, you know, give us the whole method of praising your samosa mints now.
Okay, make sure that your meat is nicely cleaned. What I normally do is I use chicken fillet, which I wash it and freeze it for a little while, and then you mince it through a mincer, which mince so much easier, because once it's a bit frozen, then it goes quickly through the machine. And then you just put it in your pot with a little bit of ghee and oil, and you start braising your mince. And then when you start with your onions, say for instance, if you're using a kilo of mince, you need at least 3 to 4 onions for that 1 kilo. You magic mix your onions, and then you squeeze out all the excess water from it. You must make sure that all the water is squeezed out. Once your mince is nicely braised with your masalas, and then only do you add your onions to it, and you braise it further till all the water is burnt out. Make sure all your water is totally burnt out in your mince. What happens once you start filling in, there is a little bit of water in the buns. It will start, when you're frying your samosas, it will start making brown on the sides.
Yes.
And that means that you didn't burn your water out totally.
Mm-hmm. And coming to the spices, like, you know, we're going to be showing the recipe later in the program. What spices would you add into your mince now?
Okay. Now, everybody's different individual spicing, but mine, on the whole, I use green masala, salt, dry dana, dry jeera, and once it's almost done, then I put a little bit of dill in the mince. It gives a nice little crunchy flavor when you're biting the mince. And a little bit of lemon juice in there.
Mm-hmm.
So now it depends. Some people like their mince a bit white in color. Some people like it red. Then you are going to use the red masala with a little bit of arad in there and make it a nice, you know, red color. Depending on what each individual wants.
Okay. Now, I braise my mince, both. Now, this is for your beef mince and your chicken mince. I prefer the chicken must be a bit ground. It mustn't be fine, you know, because it becomes too dry then, you know. So I put about a rice spoon of oil in my pot, but I normally braise 1 kilo at a time.
Okay.
And then add it into a big pot, you know, if you're going to... Two or three, I won't say it's too much, but you know your amounts by then.
Uh-huh.
It's easy to work that way. Then I'll maybe put about a tablespoon of salt again, salt to taste, and then your green chilies to taste again.
Yes.
And then about, say about 2.5 tablespoons of your crushed dana.
Dana.
And then a tablespoon of your jeera, and I put about a half a tablespoon of garam masala. And then again I put about a rice spoon of vinegar.
Okay, I put the lemon juice.
Vinegar comes on. And you see, it's very important also when you're braising your mince. It's nice to do it on a gas stove, but you don't have a gas stove, you can do it on an electric stove.
Mm-hmm.
Put it in a nice medium heat and take a slotted spoon.
The
use
back
the back of a slotted spoon and start pressing out all the lumps.
Okay, there's different methods of, of breaking the lump. Some people use a masher to mash it. I normally use the pestle, and it works so well because it takes all the lumps out of
the mince. Make a noise.
It actually does make a noise, but now, I mean, really, if you need to make it fine, you just have to use that, and it works really very well.
Okay.
Some people even magic mix the mince after it's braised, but then it becomes too fine then. Then you don't enjoy that mince because it's very, very, very fine.
Mm-hmm.
But I know of somebody that makes it and use the magic mix after the mince is braised.
Okay.
So to take all the lumps out, but it's not that I don't advise you to do that because it
just keep doing it with a slotted spoon or whichever, but keep removing the lumps.
Yes, yes, and it works really. Even the mesher is not
the mesher works well.
It also works well.
Okay. I think let's come to the onions part now. I think that's where a lot of ladies find it a bit difficulty. Antigrita, you said 3 to 4 onions for a kilo of mince. Okay. Now what I normally peel my onions the day before and leave it in the fridge.
In the fridge.
Okay. Yes. Because you're going to cry the whole day. Yes. And you get the strong onion.
No,
even
you
don't put it in the fridge. Yeah. You know, you still your eyes still water.
Mm.
And then chop it up in a magic mix and I put it into a colander and press it out nicely, all the juice. Now, some people have different ways of taking out the water. They braise it in the frying pan. Some put it in the oven.
Yes.
Some take a cloth and take out all the juice from there.
Using a muslin cloth?
A muslin
or a
kitchen
cloth.
Actually,
or a kitchen
cloth works
towel.
Very well.
Mm.
In fact, I was looking at one of the Instagram ladies on Kriya, and the other day she was drying onions, and she said it's so important to dry your onions in sunlight.
Yes, that's another way of doing it.
Easy.
And I was actually shocked. I said, at least we're learning something.
We're learning
she
something.
Says you put it so all the water burns out in the hot sun, and then you fry it. You'll see how nice your onions fry in the fryer. So it's a tip again, you can dry your onions in the sun after it's sliced or whatever it may be, and then you fry
it
or braise it and use it as you want.
Okay, now you've got your mince now, you've got your samosa mince already 3/4 way braised. Some people take out the juice from the onion and then add it into their mince and give it a bit of a cook. Do you do that?
No,
I don't put that
water in. No, not at all. Gee.
I find it's going to be a very bitter taste. So your onions, your mince must be completely made.
Yes.
Cold.
Before
and then you,
you
put your onions.
Okay,
in.
Some people put mince, the onions raw in, and some people still cook it in the
They
mince.
Cook it,
yes. I normally cook it in my onions. But some people add it raw in the month. It's also, it works also both ways.
Whichever way you want to, you know.
Yes.
Yes. And taste as you go along. When you put your onions, you might have to add a bit of more salt, you know.
Mm. And how strong you want it,
you know.
It's just a reason to get rid of as much moisture as you can. Because when you are frying it, then that moisture in the onion begins to turn to steam. And that's how it causes maybe the samosa pearl to burst and causing those dark marks on the corners of the samosa.
Yes.
Okay. This one says, Assalamu alaikum, wa alaikum salam, hope you all well. Marv, how many onions for a kilo of mince? Also, I missed the part where Auntie Karita said she uses something for breaking up the mince. Okay, Auntie Karita, you have to repeat that.
It's called the mortar, in the old...
Pestle and mortar.
Pestle and mortar.
Oh, Imam Dasta.
The Imam Dasta. So I use that thing to break up the lumps in the mince. Mm. And you need about 3 to 4 onions for a kilo of mince.
Okay. Some people want to add a bit of more onions.
Okay, it's your choice. You want to, you can add more, but that's the normal basic amount of onions we use.
Okay. Just a quick question. Somebody wanted to know, can you use red onions for samosas?
Not really.
You know, it's a sweet
color than mint.
Yes, and besides that, I don't know, I just find it's not as...
It doesn't have that onion
pungent flavor.
Okay. So, and then how many dozen samosas will you get out of 1 kilo mince or chicken?
You get, with chicken mince, if you're using a nice size bird, you get about 7 to 8 dozen of samosas from 1 kilo.
Okay.
Three.
And then, all right. Okay, there's one more question. I think Auntie Rashida sent a message. She says that my mom gave that... she says, work early, keep place neat, work finish, and then rest. Next day, sleep. And, was it, you know, once you're on work, get up early, do your work. Make sure your place is clean, even at night. Clean up after the children. Sure. So in the morning, you know your place is nice and clean, yes. And then she says her mother also tells her that make sure you can find things in the dark. Yes. Okay. And then let's go for a
coming
short
back
break.
The samosa. The greens, like the dana.
Oh yes, the greens. Okay, now which
and
greens?
And the spring onions. Some people use spring onion. Right?
Okay.
You must give it a good wash. I usually put it between 2 or 3 sheets of newspaper to absorb the moisture.
Uh-huh.
And if you find that's not good enough, then take your kitchen towel and dab it.
Yes.
And then chop it. Don't chop it while it's wet.
Wet.
And then when it's nice and dry, then you can add it to your samosa mince.
Samosa mince. You must make sure that
it's
thoroughly dried.
Yeah. Otherwise, you're going back to the position where you're putting moisture into your mince mixture.
Okay, and you know your tanya, you can actually wash it out nicely and put it into a salad spinner.
It works very well because it gets totally completely dry.
Mm.
And then again, you can even add a bit of mint in your mince also. Not too much because it's a very strong flavor. Just a little bit of mint also will do fine in your mince.
Okay. This listener says, she says, I cube the chicken fillet not too small. Heat ghee slightly. Add ground garlic and ground green chilies to pale pink. Then throw in fillet. Cook as Auntie Karita says. Remove when dry. Empty out chicken. Then put onions as Auntie Karita does. Process cooked fillet not too fine. Mix with braised onions. So everybody's got a different method of doing it, you know. Jazakallah for sharing. Okay, let's go for a short break. When we come back, we're doing recipes and we're taking more of your questions or concerns and also perhaps your tips on making your samosa mince. 0727861548. Stay tuned. Waalaikum and welcome back. Well, I have to share this with the listeners. It's a very nice tip. It's a bit of a light-hearted one also, but a good idea, yes, indeed. The sister says, Salams, I put my tanya and mint in a clean pillowcase that I keep just for this purpose. Then spin in the washing machine.
Oh my word.
This is because I make a big lot at a time. Comes out better than with a salad spinner. So this auntie must be really making a lot
of samosa.
Maybe she's part of the home industry. So
yes.
If it works for you, then why not?
Why not?
A good idea.
Very good idea.
Very good idea. Jazakallah for sharing, sister. And I think it's an overseas number. Yes, it definitely is an overseas number because I can see it's not from here. It's not a local number, yes. So, okay. Let's go on to recipes and we're going to still take more of your messages and then chat more about the samosa buns.
Okay, so our first one is the samosa buns recipe. You take 1 kilo of chicken buns, 3 tablespoons of ghee and oil mixed, 5 tablespoons of green masala, 2 teaspoons of salt, 3 tablespoons of dry dana, 3 onions finely chopped, and your greens. Now for your method, you braise your buns with ghee and water only for about 10 minutes. Then you add all your masala and spices. Cook till the water burns out. Then you add your onions. The water should be squeezed out from the onions. Add your onions to the buns and burn out all the water. Once it's cold, then you add your greens. Okay, so that's our samosa buns. Now we have the different types of filling pies. The first one is a chicken filling for pies. You make a vagar with ghee only. You marinate your chicken fillet with green masala, salt, chicken spice, salt and mustard powder. You cook your chicken with all these ingredients. Then you add about 2 tablespoons of sago, which you soaked in water for a while. Lastly, you add green chutney, mustard sauce and lemon juice. You cut greens and you fill as for pies. The second one is a chicken sausage roll mince recipe. You take 1/2 kilo of mushrooms, which you chop and saute in salt, pepper and olive oil. Then you take 1 kilo of mince, 1/2 cup of spring onions, 2 eggs, 1 1/2 teaspoons of lemon pepper, green masala, 1 1/4 cups of fresh breadcrumbs, 1/2 cup of chopped parsley, 2 teaspoons of salt, and 1 teaspoon of black pepper. Method, you mix everything together and you fill as for sausage rolls and enjoy. Then the third and the last one is a spinach, feta and cheese filling for pies. You take 1/2 kilo of chicken fillet, 1 tablespoon of green masala, 1 teaspoon of chicken spice, salt and pepper, 2 tablespoons of lemon juice, and 2 teaspoons of garlic flakes. You cook everything together, then you add about 1 tablespoon of sago. Cook for about 5 minutes. In another pot, you cook your spinach with salt, pepper, 1 onion, and butter. Let all the water burn out and add to your chicken mixture. When it's completely cold, crumble your feta cheese and add a little white cheese and fill as desired.
Mm-hmm.
So we have lovely
recipe. I think with sago, you just need to be but very careful. With sago, tend to stick to
yes,
the pot.
You have to stir it all the time.
All the time. But lovely recipe.
It binds your meat with the sago.
Okay.
And today, with the non-stick pots, etc., that we have around,
yes,
it makes cooking the mince and these fillings
very, very easy.
Much easier.
Okay. This listener says we put onions with mince so that water in the mince and onions burn out together, since we don't like to see onions in mince.
Yes.
So you see, everybody's different, you know?
Yes.
Everybody's different, yes. And, okay, then the listener wants to know, maybe Auntie Hava can help her out. She says her pastry dough she makes, it turns like yellowish, and also her pies shrink when she bakes it, you know? What is she doing wrong there, you know? How can we assist her?
Okay, I don't know if she's using butter or margarine.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
The proportion of flour to fat is very important.
Okay.
Because if you've got too much of butter to the flour, then you'll have the shrinking problem. So she should find out. I can't remember them offhand right now. But there is the proportion of fat to flour. And then you won't have any problems.
Because normally, Auntie Abba, I'm sorry about it. When you're making a pastry dough, the Okay, the basic recipe is about 3 to 4 cups of flour to half 500 grams of butter.
Yeah, more or less.
And
yeah.
With that amount, you don't have a problem in your pastry shrinking or anything.
Yeah.
Yes.
So she's got to check out her proportions of flour to fat. And the other important thing is salt. When you're putting the salt in the flour.
Mm-hmm.
Because the salt helps to develop the gluten a bit.
Okay.
The stickiness of the flour.
Mm-hmm.
So that when she is rolling and folding and grating or putting the layers of butter in between the layers of flour, then with the stretching, it also helps to prevent this
shrinkage.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This listener says, my helper uses a potato masher to break up the mince. After cooking chicken in ghee and masalas, process cooked chicken fillet not very fine, throw back into pot, add onions and dry water out, so you get small pieces of chicken instead of mince in your mouth.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. See, it's everybody's individual
taste
and how they eat one. Some people like the mince a bit
Very, very fine. Some people like it like ground.
Ground, yes.
Of course, yeah.
Yes. So a lot of people prefer to make their own chicken mince as well.
Mm.
And then, you see, if you're making your beef mince as well, then I think take the pure beef mince.
Yes, not the one with the fat.
Fat inside, but you're only going to be tasting fat, and fat comes in the mouth. It's not nice.
I normally buy the steak and mince it
yourself, yes.
And the same applies with the mutton also.
Mm-hmm.
You don't buy the fatty mince of mutton.
And this comes those years we said, mix the beef and the mutton mince to make it a softer mince, and it is tastier.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. You see, also when you're making beef and mutton mince, you need to add a bit of more extra masala.
Masalas, yes, you must.
Okay, this one says, amazing program and amazing recipe, Jazakallah. Okay, all the recipes are on the website. Go to radioislam.co.za. If you don't have access to internet, call Sister Fahima on 011-854-7022. She will clearly assist you. Okay, then what greens goes into the samosas now?
The basic thing is the spring onions and the danya.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, like I said, the mint is every individual's choice. If they want to put it, not too much, because it's quite strong in flavor.
Okay, and then what green masala recipe do you use for your mince? And for your listener wanted to know.
Normally, they use green chilies and garlic. That's like a normal, but when I make my masala, I make my green masala totally very different, because I put a lot of green dhana in my masala. I put green pepper, garlic, chilies, and the jeera and salt, and a bit of lemon juice, and you just magic mix all that together, and I use that as my green masala with all my fillings.
And then add green dhana on top of it?
Yes.
Okay.
Because you don't see that green, and you don't even really get a lot of the danya taste. But I normally put it, what happens?
Mm.
The masala is so beautiful and green, your fillings look nice.
And your green peppers, it's a completely different taste.
It's a totally different taste. And that is how I make my green masala.
Okay. This one says, coming back to the pastry question, the key to pastry is cold in the making and hot in the baking.
Yes,
thank you for sharing that as well. And let's just go. This one says, okay, what is better to use, butter or margarine? I use margarine for my biscuits and it tastes very nice. But I was told that margarine is bad for our health. Please advise.
That's a question that's been going on for a couple of years now.
Mm-hmm.
It really depends on the person's health. Some people use margarine because of the cholesterol.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So you can make very lovely pastry with margarine. But you've got to use...
Which margarine?
Stock margarine.
Stock margarine is really good.
It's
bakes also
and
very
nice. It gives
nice.
A good taste to the end result of your baking.
If you're ever baking plain cake and you use stock margarine, you'll never say
no problem.
That
you'll never say, yeah. The
margarine.
Taste is nice.
Even biscuits. I would also say butter is butter and ghee is ghee.
Yes. Mm.
You know, ghee with butter, that's it, you know.
That is
and you use little bit at a time, but you're going to enjoy. It's no use making things that are going to give you a nice taste.
No, definitely not.
You can actually make out a cake or a biscuit if it's made with margarine or butter.
With butter.
You can actually make out
the taste.
You can
taste,
see the difference.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And, okay, then somebody wants you to repeat your green masala recipe very quickly, Auntie Khadija.
Okay, this is now just one, how I make it, I use dhania, green dhania in my masala. I put garlic, green chilies, depending how strong you want it. And in there, I put green pepper inside, and salt, and jeera, and a little bit of lemon juice. And that's how I magic mix all that together, and you use it for all your savouries. Like I say, the colour is so beautiful, and the taste is just so nice.
The peppers make it very, very...
The peppers nice. And the dhania, of course, because it gives a beautiful...
And it's nice to add a bit of extra green chilies. It's a bit hot as well.
Yes.
Because it gives a very nice taste.
No, it
you
is.
Know?
Mm-hmm.
Very nice. Tazakara to all the lovely listeners for sending me all the Getwell messages, which are du'as and that. We really, truly appreciate it. And we make du'a for all the sick and ill.
Amen.
May Allah grant
mm-hmm.
you complete shifa. And Amen. Always, you know, it's good to, you know... Like they say, we take our precautions thereafter, we leave it in the hands of Allah.
Allah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. So, Jazakala to our producer Mumtaz, our guest Fazana, our engineer Ziyad, and Antigreja and Tihava. Inshallah, next week we're going to have a very special guest, and Antigreja is going to be doing the program in Gujarati.
Oh, Gujarati one.
Yes, okay.
Inshallah.
So, that's all we can tell you for now. Thereafter, Allah Ta'ala knows best, you know.
Amen.
I said that 2 weeks ago, but Allah Ta'ala is the best of planners,
Amen.
You know. So, but inshallah, we can look forward to that program next week, inshallah. Ameen. So, for myself, Amara, Antigreja and Tihava, Assalamu alaikum. Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.